Major funding for Fresh Air is provided by Barnes & Noble, publishers of Weird U.S., your travel guide to America's local legends and best-kept secrets, available at Barnes & Noble stores and online at bn.com. From the listeners of WHYY in Philadelphia, where Fresh Air is produced, by the Sundance Channel, presenting the new political satire Tanner on Tanner, starring Cynthia Nixon, from series creators Robert Altman and Gary Trudeau, tonight at 9. And from Bantam Trade Paperbacks, publisher of A Wizard of Earthsea by Ursula K. Le Guin, the basis for this December's Sci-Fi Channel miniseries.
This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. Yesterday, we talked with Michael Moore about his controversial documentary Fahrenheit 9/11. My guest today, David Balsiger, directed a film that is being marketed as an alternative to Fahrenheit 9/11. It's called George W. Bush, Faith in the White House. The film features a series of interviews and reenactments focusing on the president's faith and how it's affected his personal life and his decisions in the White House. The press release says, "See how his religious beliefs bring personal peace and clarity in a time of terrorism and chaos across the world." Frank Rich, in his Sunday New York Times column, wrote about the film, "In this pious but not humble worldview, faith, or at least a certain brand of it, counts more than competence." The film was shown at the Republican Convention's Family, Faith, and Freedom Rally, as well as on Christian TV networks. It's also out on DVD. Its production company, Grizzly Adams, specializes in what it describes as family-friendly feature films. Many of its productions are Bible-related. The company is named after its series, The Life and Times of Grizzly Adams. David Balsiger is the company's vice president. Let's start with a clip from the opening of his film, George W. Bush, Faith in the White House.
It has been stated by some journalists and historians that George W. Bush has brought about the most faith-based administration in American history. This program will attempt to determine whether or not that statement is true, and if it is, what effect has his faith had on America and on the world?
That's the opening of George W. Bush, Faith in the White House. David Balsiger, welcome to Fresh Air. So do you feel like your film reaches a conclusion about whether George W. Bush is leading the most faith-based administration in American history?
Well, I think that's absolutely true, at least the most faith-based since the time of Abraham Lincoln. We see it in all parts of his administration. We see it in his personal life. We see it behind the scenes. It's absolutely the most faith-based administration in contemporary times.
And do you feel like your film reaches a conclusion about what effect that faith has had on America and the world?
Well, I think it has had an effect in several different ways. For other religious believers in America, they feel comfortable at night. They sleep well knowing that this president prays, reads scriptures, and consults about 20 different spiritual advisors, from evangelicals to Protestant mainstream, Catholic, and even a Jewish rabbi. When it comes to government and diplomats and people I've interviewed for the show indicated that they like to know where a man is coming from. They like to know that he's the same today and he'll be the same tomorrow. He's the same in private and he's the same in public. And because of Bush's faith, it seems like he's that kind of a man compared to other contemporary presidents that sometimes have been one way in private, another way in public, and a third way on their opinions based on opinion polls.
Now, your film quotes a reporter from the BBC named Justin Webb as saying, "Nobody spends more time on his knees than George W. Bush. The Bush administration hums to the sound of prayer. Prayer meetings take place day and night. It's not uncommon to see White House functionaries hurrying down corridors carrying Bibles." Do you agree with that perception? Is that what you've seen, too, or what others have told you they've seen?
Well, that seems to be very true. Not only is that a clear perception of what happens, but we even go beyond that in our show. We've discovered, for instance, that people have walked in on the president in the Oval Office thinking he was there, and he was down on his knees praying. We know for a fact that he has prayed with numerous world leaders. He has shared his testimony, his faith, how it has meant so much in his own life with some of his addictions and other problems, and how he relies on faith and sometimes making the big decisions that aren't easy to make.
One of the things the president's faith-based administration has led to is the creation of a presidential prayer team. You interview, I don't know if you did the interview, but the person who heads that team is interviewed in your film. How did that team start? What does it do?
Well, that particular team started after 9/11. They were intending to start and pray for our military and all presidents, not specifically just Mr. Bush. But it started back after 9/11, and it has about 3 million people praying for the president, different world leaders, different domestic leaders on a daily basis. And the president is probably the most significant president we've ever had when it comes to his belief in prayer and intercessory prayer, meaning other people praying for him. He's constantly thanking people who pray for him, and that organization, of course, is one of the biggest that's doing it on a daily basis.
Let's hear another excerpt of the movie. In this part, James Robeson, who's a religious broadcaster and a friend of President Bush's, is describing a conversation he had with George W. Bush about his ambivalence early on about running for the White House and then his conviction that he should.
And he said, you know, God really did change my life. And he said, you know, I never wanted anything to do with politics. I always wanted to, you know, just be the fellow, even if as governor now, which he said surprises me that I made this decision, but I'm glad I did. But he said, I want to be remembered as the man who walked in Walmart to buy fishing lures and used to be the governor. My dad was president. That's the only way I want people to think about me. But he said, I honestly believe that I am supposed to run for president. He said, I believe it's something God wants me to do. And he said, I can't explain it, but I believe my country is going to need me at this time.
On September 11th, 2001, that premonition came true. The nation and the world changed.
That's an excerpt of George W. Bush, Faith in the White House. And at this point in the movie, we see the collapsing World Trade Center towers. My guest, David Bolsiger, is the director of the film. David Bolsiger, what do you think is the connection between George W. Bush's premonition and September 11th, the premonition that God wanted him to run for president?
Well, with a lot of Christians, they believe they have a calling on their life. Some believe they're called to be a missionary, a social worker, even a preacher or a minister. And George Bush had this kind of a calling premonition prior to running for president. He had been in a church service where they were talking about Moses, and he had the strangest calling overcome him, and he started sharing that with some other pastors, and they said that's not unusual, and that you should in fact run for president if that's the calling you feel the God is speaking to you about. So it may seem extraordinary to non-believers, but it seems pretty normal to believers because these kind of things happen.
If people feel that the president is divinely chosen, then does that mean the president shouldn't be challenged because he was chosen by God for these troubled times?
Well, I don't know that we're saying the president was necessarily divinely chosen, but he's probably the man for the hour at the time of that terrorist attack. And most people, including whether they were Democrats, Republicans, or non-voters, I think felt very comfortable with how the president led the country. Should he be reelected because of that? Not necessarily. People have to make their decision based on whatever the issues are most important to them. In the religious community, particularly among evangelicals, faith is probably the biggest issue in how he stands on certain family moral issues. Other people look at different issues.
The film seems to consider the possibility that God wanted George W. Bush to be president, especially during these troubled times after September 11th. If the president loses the election, do you think that that would be God's will?
Well, you know, God's will is usually God's will. If he loses the election, it would be God's will. If he wins the election, it would be God's will.
If you're just joining us, my guest is David Bolsiger. He's the director of the new movie, George W. Bush, Faith in the White House. How did you decide to do this film?
Well, we have a rather unique approach to the shows that we do for commercial television. We take concept ideas for a show, and we test them on the Gallup poll, and those that score extremely high, we pitch those to networks, and we put those in production. And George W. Bush, we started testing about 2 years ago, and there was a strong interest in whether or not Bush walked the talk of his faith, because we saw it on the surface, but what was he like behind the scenes? The concept scored high, and fortunate for us, three books were published at the end of this year, beginning of this year, that we obtained the rights to. Then a second fortunate thing, I think, for us was the release of Fahrenheit 911, which gave us a chance to position our show as a positive alternative to that show, looking at another side of Bush that people were interested in but seldom seen, because it's an unauthorized documentary. We did not contact the Bush administration, the campaign, or the White House, but we wanted to look at what other people who had a faith-based experience with Bush could actually tell us what the man was like when it came to talking the walk and walking the walk.
When you do that Gallup poll testing before actually, you know, producing the movie, do you test just to a Christian audience, or do you test to a broader audience? Is it kind of like niche testing? Because I think many of your broadcasts are on Christian networks.
Well, actually, no. We're actually secular television producers. In the last 6 years, we've produced 400 shows. 85 of them were biblical in nature. The others ranged the gamut from Who Killed Princess Diana to Why TWA Crashed. And so we test a broad audience to determine what the public at large would like to see. Fortunately or unfortunately, depending how people look at it, a number of biblical-related topics came up. And some of our shows have pulled the highest ratings in 5 years on some of the networks. So we've been family-friendly television producers for 31 years, and this is one more show in that series of those kind of documentaries that we do, but it's had a larger audience, it's had more play, it's become controversial, and it's opened up some new markets for us that we haven't had before.
Your film was shown in Dallas at the Renaissance Film Festival, which was a film festival for conservative filmmakers. It's been described as a patriotic alternative to the Sundance and Cannes film festivals, described by its creators that way. And several, I think at least two movies in answer to Michael Moore's movie were shown there, in addition to your movie. Were you there? Can you describe what the atmosphere was like?
Yes, we've actually been asked to have our film in probably a half a dozen or more film festivals, something we've not done in the past. But I was there. I did watch the entire festival, and our film was probably the most positive one as an alternative to Michael Moore. A number of the others went directly at Michael Moore. I felt that the quality of some of those were no better than Michael Moore's. Michael spent $6 million on his. We spent $250,000. Ours is light years better in production quality. Ours is also balanced. We have 18 proponents telling about the president's faith. We have 10 critics that have criticized the president's faith. Michael Moore has neither critics or anyone giving an opposing viewpoint to what he has to say.
I will mention, though, that the critics who you represent in your film are not interviewed. You just read quotes from them.
That's correct. Many of them did not want to appear, and we've done other shows where critics sometimes do not want to appear in a show. So the best we could do is take their statements that they boldly made, and we had hoped they would come on screen and make those same statements, but we were declined.
Now, your movie was also shown at the Republican convention. Can you describe the setting for that screening?
Well, what we were doing there is, as in any film, we look for the various legs that we can promote through. For instance, we just did a film called The Search for Heaven, and a big market for us there is selling it into funeral homes and things like that. So when the Republican convention came along, we saw it as a venue not only to get some media exposure, but to preview it once a day for delegates and others that were interested in it. And we've done that at a number of other conventions, too, family-friendly conventions and any venue that we think will help get broader sales for the product. And we're even out there in the mass market. We released our DVD with a major distributor the same day that Michael Moore released his on October 5. Michael Moore is in number one position on the new list, and we're at about 17 or so. Overall, I think we're 23 out of 9,000 DVDs. So we're right up there in the mainstream of what the public wants to see, as our original Gallup poll testing told us this topic would generate in the marketplace.
Your film raises the question of separation of church and state. Where do you feel your film? How do you feel your film finally interprets that, and you know where that line should be?
Well, we all talk about separation of church and state, that it's in the First Amendment. In reality, it is not in the First Amendment, and Senator Zell Miller is on our show and clearly explains that. If you have a church and state dilemma, it would probably be in the area if federal funding was used to actually advocate a particular faith or to bring people into a faith or, say, to purchase Bibles, for example.
You also quote or paraphrase William Rehnquist, Supreme Court Justice, Chief Supreme Court Justice, as having said that the country was not founded on the principle of separation of church and state.
Well, that's true. It was basically founded on the principle that the state should not endorse any particular religion, such as in England, for example. They endorse one particular state church. And that's really the issue it's speaking to. It's saying, well, the United States government does not endorse Roman Catholics or evangelicals or Baptists. They're all welcome, and the state will not give one favoritism over another.
If you're just joining us, my guest is David Balsiger, and he's the director of the new film, George W. Bush, Faith in the White House. I understand that this movie is being marketed largely to a Christian audience, and that it's largely a film directed to a Christian audience. But what do you think people who aren't Christian or who don't subscribe to the same interpretation of Christianity that George W. Bush does, what reaction do you think that they would have upon seeing this movie? A movie which, their faith might tell them very different things than President Bush's faith does. It might interpret things very differently than President Bush's faith does.
Well, I don't think it has a negative really in any marketplace. A lot of Christians are buying it presently, but you know, originally we designed this to have bigger sales in the secular marketplace, and that's where the huge sales will come. But let me give you an example. In Kuwait, they're anxious to air this show, and we ask them why. Well, they said, we love President Bush over here. We even name our kids after him, and we know he has a strong faith, and we want to know what makes him tick.
Have you seen Michael Moore's movie, Fahrenheit 9/11?
Yes, I have.
And your reactions to it?
Well, I thought Michael Moore, for spending $6 million, and we spent $250,000, and you'll see light years difference between the production quality. A lot of his movie, for instance, was just shot off of a television screen. It was poorly edited. The production values of his film would never be suitable to meet the standards and practices of a major secular network. It's important what you put on the screen as far as quality and content. You also have to have balance to get on television. For spending $6 million, maybe it was all paid in the producer-director fee to Michael Moore, and only $500 was put on screen. And looking at that, being a filmmaker, documentary producer for 30 years, we could have made that show for between $300,000 and $500,000. So where the rest of the money was spent, I don't know. It did not go on screen.
You've probably read the article that Frank Rich wrote a few weeks ago in the New York Times. This was one of his Sunday New York Times columns, and it focused on your movie, George W. Bush, Faith in the White House. And Rich wrote, more than any other campaign artifact, it clarifies the hard-knuckles rationale of the president's vote for me or face Armageddon re-election message. It transforms the president that the Democrats deride as a fortunate son of privilege into a prodigal son with the moral clarity of an old-fashioned biblical prophet. What's your reaction to that?
Well, I've done something like 300 interviews prior to the Frank Rich column, and we had released on that column 5 days before it was published, and I said the minute I saw that column, it was such a vicious attack piece that this will be the best thing that ever happened to us. And his column did have a line in there. It says, this is a must-see documentary. And then he went on, and a lot of his comments were inflammatory, and his own opinion had nothing to do with the film. But let me tell you what it did for us. It gave us a whole new level of interviews that we had not had before. We also had difficulty getting our show into Walmart. They had turned us down three times. After the Frank Rich column, they ordered 40,000, as did a couple other chains. And all of a sudden, it brought brand new international as well as domestic attention to our show. So if a piece is extremely bad, sometimes it's extremely good.
Now, since you do a lot of Christian programs, I'm wondering, like, if you could compare some of the differences between how Christian movies are released and distributed and how you get to your target audience for that compared to more secular programs.
We have to keep in mind we're commercial television producers, and the big problem these days with television, you can never get a large enough license fee to cover your budget for your production. So any network only pays you about a third of what your cost will be in producing a show. So you always have to have other venues and avenues of recovering your money and making a profit to continue on in business. So what we look at many times is what opportunities exist for any show that we're doing. If the Gallup poll says this is a very important topic that would have strong viewer interest, we still have to say, well, does it have good retail interest in DVD? Does it have possible crossover into the religious market? Does it have good foreign licensing? And is it evergreen in some way? For instance, Fahrenheit 9-1-1 will be dead after the election. We believe this Bush special will be evergreen for 10, 15, or 20 years, as they show many documentaries on Franklin Roosevelt in World War II. So we look at all those kind of things in doing a show.
Now, you mentioned that one of your new movies, The Evidence for Heaven, is being shown at funeral homes, that's one of the, you know, the markets for it. In your own advertising, The Evidence for Heaven is described as, see evidence that heaven is more real than earth. What's the context of how it's being screened in funeral homes?
Well, you brought up an interesting topic here. Generally, on any show that we make, we have anywhere from 5 to 7 versions to accommodate all the different venues of how the show will be used or marketed or broadcasted. And in the case of Heaven, Evidence for Heaven is the religious version. It's a longer version that goes into more of spiritual aspects of heaven. The Search for Heaven is the secular broadcast version, which is more universal, mentions heaven in other faiths too. And in the way it's used in funeral homes and that, they're just simply given to people who have lost a loved one so they can view that and feel more comfortable with the afterlife, or if they're believers, that heaven exists. And heaven does exist in all major religions, by the way.
Do you see your production company as an alternative to Hollywood?
Oh, absolutely. We do everything opposite of how Hollywood does it. We do it backward, as some people tell us. Typically, Hollywood starts with a script, and they promote and find somebody that will pick it up, and they find producers, directors, funders. They finally get it out, whether it's a movie or a TV show, and they finally get it out, and they hope everybody wants to see it. Well, we do it all backwards. We determine to begin with, right up front, does anyone want to see the show that we're thinking about, or the 100 concepts that we test every quarter? In reality, my partner has often said, we've never done a show that we ever wanted to do. We've always produced shows that people wanted to know more about, or topics or subjects that were of interest to them and not our own pet projects.
Would you like your new movie, George W. Bush, Faith in the White House, to have an effect on the election?
Well, you know, several people in our company, including myself, were faith-based believers, and generally we make our decision on any candidate, whether it's a president or another person. Do they have a faith? Do they rely on their faith at all? Or do they consult pastors, ministers, rabbis, and those kind of folks in making the big decisions? So I think we would hope that the show would have some impact, but it can equally have a negative impact with people too. But we're told by a number of Christians who buy 500 or 1,000 units at a time that they're distributing them to pastors and others. And what we're also told is that it solidifies fence sitters, because in the Christian realm, if a Christian isn't sure who to vote for and they're using a faith factor, they don't vote at all. And so apparently this show is solidifying some of those folks. Some have told us it has neutralized Bush bashers. But the most important thing, I think, about this show that will be known even long after this election, it's a highly inspirational show. Many people, men and women, tell us after seeing this show or during parts of this show, they're shedding tears, and it's so inspirational. It aspires them to do better in their own Christian walk, to become more caring and compassionate in their own lives. It actually had that effect on me.
Well, David Balziger, thank you so much for talking with us.
Oh, thank you.
David Balziger produced and directed the new film George W. Bush, Faith in the White House, which is being marketed as an alternative to Fahrenheit 9/11, whose director Michael Moore we heard from yesterday.